Right, time for church. Come on in. Find a seat. It is good to have you tonight. Obviously, our kids are with us for worship, so if you have a child in the house, make sure they're at arm's distance of you. In other words, make sure they're with you. And then, of course, after worship, we'll dismiss our kids for kids' church tonight. A couple quick announcements. Don't forget that this Sunday, right after church, is our church picnic over at the Urbana Park. So right when church is over, we'll head over there. I'm supplying all the fried chicken and water and all that. And if you will bring some side dishes to share, we'd appreciate that. And it'll be a good time Sunday, so make plans to be there for that. And then also next Wednesday, we're going to do something different. So you need to pay attention to this. Next Wednesday, we are going to do our church service outside, okay? So bring a lawn chair, bring a blanket, bring something, and we're going to do acoustic worship outside. I'll have a little bit of a word, then we'll break out the fire pit, and we'll have hot dogs and s'mores. And then if you got a little one, we're also going to break out the slip and slide. So make sure your little kid, your little guy, bring your bathing suit, a towel, whatever, and then we'll just be outside for that night and have a good time. So a couple things to make you aware. So hopefully you're at church, not only church on Sunday, but the church picnic afterwards. How about that? So everybody stand up on your feet. I look forward to coming to church to worship with you. That we join in unity together. And that there's something powerful about a group of people who simply believe. Yeah. Now, I don't know about you. I don't have it all figured out. But yeah, I believe. And because I believe, there's a response from my life. And part of the response from my life is my worship unto God. And not only do I worship personally and privately, but I love coming together in the house with other believers and worshiping together. Just something about it. Amen. So let's open up our hearts tonight. Let's lift up our hands and praise Him tonight. And let's worship Jesus together.
Yes. Build your kingdom. Change.
kingdom here, Lord, knowing that you are not finished yet, God, that you have called us forth for such a time as this, God. Come and heal our land, Lord. Come and do what only you can do. Come and win this nation back for your sake, God. Let people see who you are in the midst of darkness, God. Let them see the light that you can only bring. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that you are not finished yet, that you have called us, God, to do your will here on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for choosing us, for first loving us. We thank you that the enemy has no authority over us, that we are yours and you are ours, that your banner over us is love.
Belong. Build your kingdom here.
what looks like the biggest pile of junk and mess. And envision what should be. When he created, in the beginning God created, you always hear void, emptiness. But he knew what should be. And he spoke it forth. And the master builder, the master creator, has not stopped building. He's not stopped making things new. That's actually the business he's in. If you say, what is God doing? What is he up to? God is making all things new. That's what he does. And he can take any mess, and see exactly what should be. But if we allow the master builder to come, the one who makes all things new, he will build his kingdom. In other words, his kingdom is synonymous with all things made new. It's the same thing. That's what it is. So I would encourage you tonight, if you look at your life and what you see is mess, it's all right. Let God start a building project in you. He's already got the permits. He's already paid the funds. He has all the tools. He has the ingenuity. You'll get the job done. Foundation on foundation, brick on brick. Everything that needs to happen will process in your life. And if there's anything around you that looks like a mess, you simply pray that God gets involved there too. Because he can just do anything. Amen? So how about this? Let's just right now. If you think and you feel like right now there's parts of your life that are a mess, in this next couple of moments, I just want you to commit that mess to the master builder and allow him to start to do what only he can do. Amen? Let's do that. Lord, we thank you that you love us and you care for us and you have a plan for us. And in our mess, you don't discard us, but you constantly call to draw us to you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that every single person in this room is in a process of being built. The kingdom coming, your will being done right here in our lives. And step by step, brick by brick, foundation upon foundation, you are building us into what you know should be your intention. And I pray there's nobody in this room that feels like they are too far gone or that one thing is too much of a mess for you, that you can do all things, and we thank you for that. So Lord, do a work in our lives tonight. Start it. I pray for the encouragement and the hope and the vision to see what you can do. I thank you for that, Jesus. I praise you for that. Testimony and praise coming out of building projects. Evidence that only you do things that only you can do. Evidence of that. The work of the master creator. I thank you for that, Jesus. Mess made beautiful. As the song says, graves and scars. Lost and dark and broken to new. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All righty. Well, kids can go check in the kids' shirts. We normally would have had youth hang out tonight. The youth are with us tonight, okay? But you can get your kids downstairs, greet some people around you, and we'll be back rolling in just a moment.
Thank you, sir.
Now, I know tonight is normally youth hangout for the 12th grade. I apologize, it's not happening. So how about this? If the youth want to, if you want to, y'all can gather and sit together somewhere here in the middle, all right? As long as a couple of your parents sit with you, I'm good with that, all right? So if you guys want to sit together, go for it. But you guys got the youth lead for camp, 12th grade, in 2 weeks. We're excited for them for that. And just so the youth are aware, we are kicking everything back off in August. The first Sunday night of August, our youth Sunday night hangout, we rented... Samara, what is that place we rented? Okay, so we rented a gym, so we're going to go and have our youth night at that place and have a good time. So that's the first Sunday in August. And then, of course, our normal Wednesday night youth hangout, we'll get back into flow after that. But all the youth, you guys can sit together if you want. But I'm glad you're with us. Margo's not here tonight. She wasn't feeling the best, so she stayed home. But that's okay. She'll get over it and be fine. All right, tithe and offering. If you have something to give tonight, they're offering envelopes and chairs in front of you. If not, the ushers have some for you. You can wave your hand around. You're giving tithe of the increase that comes into your life. It's honorable unto the Lord. The things that he teaches us through becoming givers is so valuable to you. And if you can learn to give of your finances, you will be able to give of anything. Because people just simply often are greedy. Amen. But if you can, I'm going to tell you something. If you can learn and grow into not only not being greedy, but know the Lord provides for you, God almost can do anything with you as far as working through you towards other people. Because the Christian faith does a new work in you so you can be turned out towards those around you. It's not anything you keep for yourself. Christianity is not greedy in any way. I'm not talking about just money. What God gives you freely, you are to learn to freely give to others. Christianity is a generous heart, an overflowing heart. What I want to be, I don't know about you, but what I want to be is as generous as I can be in every situation that I come across in my life. To know that God has used me or put me in a place that he could do things, his love could be shown to other people through the actions of things that I have done. So that's a generous heart. It's a generous spirit. So we're taught in giving into the church that grows this in us in such a way that it turns outward into every aspect of our lives. And again, money is hard for people to give up. Inflation's high. How many noticed? My goodness. Inflation is high entirely around the world. You know that? It's not just our country. It's everywhere. And the effects of everything that went on with COVID and all that kind of stuff really affected economies around the world. Inflation's high, but how many know God is still God? And God is still your provider. And if you trust in him, he will provide. Amen? But then what we do when we provide, we honor him. We learn that's just not always about us. Amen? Let me pray over your giving. They're already giving us, might as well pray. All right, Lord, we thank you. Be able to come to the house and continue in our worship and give tonight. And I pray as we give, our trust in you grows and grows and grows. That we trust you in all things. And we thank you that you are so, so faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you haven't already brought it and want to, you can. If you got your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 4. 10:4, good buddy. Proverbs 10:4. How many are old enough to remember the TV show BJ and the Bear? Anybody? How many have no idea what I'm talking about? It was about a trucker that had a
monkey.
A monkey. It was 10-4, good buddy. Anyways, never mind. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube.
Yes.
I'm sure you can. All right, we're closing out tonight. Next week, we're going to do an outside service, and I believe Wednesday after that, we're going to begin a series in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be walking through that chapter of the great heroes of faith of the Bible and talking about great faith. Okay, that starts in a couple weeks after our outside service next week. But tonight, we're closing out a series on taming your time. And again, over-busyness is really not good for your soul. And over-busyness will induce stress, anxiety, worry. And it's just simply not good to not be able to slow down. And what happens is when you're over-busy, you have a tendency not to pay attention to the most important things in your life. In other words, the responsibilities that you have that you're accountable to. But you also then are never able to slow down enough to spend time with the Lord. You never slow down enough to take time to rest. Now, all these things are part of a rhythm of health for your life, not just physically, but also spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. So we have to learn to be good stewards of our time. So we've been talking, I think this is the fifth week of this, and each week we've had a little bit of an activity writing things down. But we need help, and it starts with practical care of our time. Everybody gets the same amount of time every week. I didn't get more seconds than you today. I may have been awake more seconds than some of you, but we all had the same seconds and minutes and hours today, right? What you do with these things means something. You can waste your time. You can be unproductive with your time. You can be busy with your time with a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't matter. Yes. Or you can be about understanding these are the responsibilities of my life. These are the priorities. I will take time to make sure these are taken care of. I'm going to take time and slow down to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to have a rhythm of rest in my life. And then if I have more, then I can have recreation and do hobbies, but that's not the most important thing, okay? But Proverbs 10:4, bring us to close with talking about it this way. It says this, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. And certainly that's in the context of finances. In other words, a lazy hand or a hand that isn't working properly causes lack. But the hand of diligence, wisdom, understanding, in other words, about care and stewardship of life, will cause some level of prosperity. That kind of wisdom applies to everything in your life. It's just really simple, kind of like this. If you have a job, and your hand is slack, and you don't go to your job, then you'll find yourself in poverty.
Amen.
It's pretty easy. But if you want to be provided for, even into some level of prosperity, your hand has to work with diligence. But diligence isn't just working hard, it's working wise. Okay? So our lives, In a big picture kind of way, can't be slack. They've got to be diligent. So we have wisdom, and we've been given wisdom, or we can ask for wisdom at least, or we can learn wisdom of how to bring stewardship to areas of our life so those areas aren't slack, but they're diligent. Okay? My grandpa was a farmer. He had a saying that he said, and he'd tell the boys, and I have a few uncles, and they'd work the dairy farm. And he would always say, make the plan, then work the plan. Make a plan is good. That's wise. But then what good is to make a plan and never work it? Or what good is it to try to work something you didn't plan? You're just kind of doing whatever. It's wise to make a plan, and certainly wise to follow through and work the plan. That's
diligence of life. Grandpa was a hard worker. In my office, when my grandfather passed away, I have so many cousins, I don't think I could name them off the top of my head right now. So 95% of them still live in central Pennsylvania, where my grandma was living at the time when my grandpa passed away. And all of us, all the cousins, were allowed to come pick something that we wanted out of the house, or his, after he retired from farming, he had a workshop where he made stuff. Like I have a chest or two that he made. And being in Ohio, I was one of the last ones there, which was terrible. My cousins. Anyways, so I had a couple things in my mind I knew I wanted. When I got there, I knew they'd be gone, and sure enough. And one of them was an old school little game where you shot a marble up. It was like, had baseball, had numbers on it, and it was underneath the couch in the living room. And I knew it was shoved way back to the wall. And I was just hoping that my cousins forgot it was there. Sure enough, those suckers found that thing. Anyways, one of them took it. So I actually, because I was one of the last ones, I said, Grandma, can I have two things? And my grandma was a little Pennsylvania Dutch woman, wore a covering and everything. And she said I could. I got one thing out of the house, but I was in his workshop outside in the barn, and there was an old sledgehammer that was kind of sitting up. And this thing, the handles wore down, the head of it beat up. I said, can I have the sledgehammer? And she just kind of looked at me and was like, why in the world would you want that old, dirty sledgehammer? That thing had been on the farm, and you could tell it was worked. As a matter of fact, the handle near the top was cracked. That sledgehammer sits in my office. Not because I hit people with it, though I'm tempted at times. Lord Jesus, help me. But every day when I see it, I think, work hard today. Work hard. It reminds me of hard work. See, diligence is not a slack hand. Diligence is making a plan and putting the work to the plan. So the point is this, is that most people talk about change, but they don't follow through with change. It's like the old New Year's resolution thing. I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm pretty sure it's almost 100%. I'm guessing in the 90 percentile. Of people who make New Year's resolutions last maybe a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I go to the gym in January, the gym is jam-packed. By the middle of February, it's thinning out. I was there yesterday, there was like 15 of us. People don't stick to change. We have good intentions, but we don't follow through with diligence, eventually our hand turns slack. So the point is this. When you are thinking about areas of your life when it comes to time that you don't have good stewardship with, that you know you need to change, what are you going to do to bring diligence to actually have change in your life? You have a good intention, you have a good thought. I know I'm spending too much time doing this, and I need to cut it out or cut back. So an easy example would be your phone. Okay, this is easy. If you come to the realization that you spend too much time on your phone each day, and you're neglecting proper priorities in your life, or you're spending so much time on your phone, you're doing this instead of spending time with the Lord, or you're doing this and you're not letting your brain rest, or whatever, what are you going to do? What's your plan that you're going to work to cut this back? You see what I'm saying? See, you got to make the plan, work the plan. And what comes with it is you have to learn how to evaluate. And most people don't do this. And we're often not honest with ourselves. You may need to, whatever it is you feel you need to change in your life, and this goes for everything besides just managing your time. Are you taking time to evaluate your life to see if you've been upholding the intentions you had of change? I evaluate things in my life quarterly. I evaluate things that we do in this church quarterly. There are certain things that I evaluate in my life. Am I spending enough time with the Lord? I think about it. And if I feel that I'm in a season of life where that's falling short, I have to step back and say, why is it falling short? And what do I need to do to change in order to get that time back? Then I make a plan and I work the plan. That's a slack hand versus a diligent hand. Follow through means everything. What you gonna do? See, the reason people fail and change because they ultimately lack discipline. Rubber meets the road, discipline. If I know that I spend too much time on my phone every day, can you discipline yourself to do this and walk away from it and leave it there? You know what I mean? Do you have that? Throw it in the river. Whatever you have to do. What kind of discipline do you have? You know you show up late for work enough that your job is in depth jeopardy. How are you going to discipline yourself to get up in enough time to get to work before work starts? See, before I was a pastor, I worked construction. We started the job 7 a.m. every day. That meant we were in our workplace with our tool belts on, ready to start at 7. Not walking at 7 or 7:01, standing there ready to go at 7. That was requirement. I played sports, man. Practice started at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for football. You don't walk on the field at 3 o'clock. You're standing your gear ready to go, already run your warm-up lap before that. Discipline. What are you going to do to bring discipline to your intention? Most people won't do it. That's why they make a New Year's resolution, and 2 weeks later, they're done. No discipline. And here's the thing. For things that are healthy for you, God does not force you not to have a slack hand. He gives you the wisdom, if you ask, to have a diligent hand, but you must, in and of yourself, put it into practice. How many know you should pray, but God does not make you pray? How many know you should spend time in your word? God does not make you do it. You should be in church. It's beneficial to you, but he don't make you come. You see what I'm getting at? A lot of things are beneficial. You know you should rest, but he doesn't make you rest. You have to choose to discipline yourself to make time each day to pray. You must choose to discipline yourself each day to break your Bible open. Just spend some time there. You must choose, and you did tonight on Wednesday night, the middle of the week, and here you are in church. You chose to be here. Good. You must choose to do things that are healthy. You are super busy. You must choose to stop doing something and sit down and rest. You see what I'm getting at? That's the difference between a slack hand and a diligent hand. So whatever it is, the intentions that you have, the things you've got to change to bring your time into stewardship, you've got to make a plan, you've got to work the plan, and at some point you have to evaluate whether or not the plan's working. And think about it. Because this will change, and seasons change, and times change, and circumstances of life change. You're going to have to adjust and do things. But the point is, you stay diligent to make sure that what is necessary is happening. And that takes some reflection and some thought, and not just let life careen as it goes and do what it wants, and I don't know why I'm here. A lot of times, if we look at the decisions you have made or decisions you have not made, or the discipline of your life or the lack of discipline of your life, we can tell you exactly how you got there. It's not hard. You've got to put effort into these things. So for me, this is just the way this works for me. It may not work for you. It works for me. I cut out time every day after I get up to pray and spend time in the Word. I could do a lot of other stuff, but I discipline myself to take that time. Right? And it's like the, by the way, let me tell you something that helps. Patterns. Doing the same things help create patterns, help them create rhythm. So my time, relatively, is the same time each time. And it's built into my life. It's a pattern. It's wisdom. It's a plan, then you work the plan. Right? So what we do is we look at our schedules, and I'm always thinking in some way, when am I going to rest a little bit? And I make sure that I follow through with that. Have a plan, then work the plan. Okay? But if, let's say, back to spending time with the Lord, let's say for some reason that time is getting run over, it's getting wiped out, I have to stop and evaluate and say, why is that not happening? Then do something about it. Discipline, change something, rearrange something, do something. Or what if for some reason that time no longer works? When am I going to make the time? When am I going to adjust life and make time? You see? You can't just hope things change. It's like hoping your house is going to get cleaned while you sit on the couch. I don't know about you, but I don't have the little Keebler elves running around my house cleaning and making food. Be great if I welcome live with me elves. It'd be great. But it doesn't happen. If I want the yard mowed, I got to jump on the mower and mow it. It just doesn't, you can't hope it happens. That's life. If I want to spend time in the Word, if I want to spend time in prayer, I desire it, then I have to do something to make it happen. If I don't feel like I'm getting enough rest, I've got to do something to make it happen. If I don't feel like I'm sleeping enough, I have to do something to make it happen. If I don't feel like I'm spending enough time with my wife, I have to do something to make it happen. If I don't feel like I'm spending enough time with my kids, I have to do something to make it happen. I've got to make a plan and then be disciplined. Work the plan. And bring rhythm to your life. Then, but what happens is a lot of times then these things start to become second nature to you. We are creatures of habit. A lot of our habits are bad. We're creatures of habit. When you set a rhythm of habit in your life, then it starts to become second nature. So kind of like this. I don't need, maybe you're different to me. I don't need an alarm clock. I wake up generally within an hour time frame every single day, even Saturdays, which I hate. Because I'm a creature of habit. I wake up anywhere between 5 and 6 a.m. every single morning. And if I'm in bed past 6 because I laid there, I'm a creature of habit. You build these things into your life. I know, again, I build into my life, then at some point that morning, I'm going to pray. And you know what happens? When I miss it for a couple days, I feel like something's out of whack. You know what I'm talking about? Build that. But it takes time to build those things. So you have to learn to bring a plan and to bring discipline, and then, again, to learn how to evaluate. So getting back to just a couple weeks ago, I think we were talking. That is why boundaries in your life are extremely important. Anything that comes that's not necessary, that comes to wreck the plan, learn to say no. So, it kind of like this. So this morning, when I was reading my Old Testament reading right now, I'm in chapter 40 and 41 of Isaiah. That's where I'm at in the Old Testament. New Testament, I'm in Luke 14, I think. What was Psalm of the day today? I think it was 40-something today. Anyways, if Margo called me in the middle of my Bible reading time, that is one phone call I'm going to pick up because she just doesn't do that. And if she said, hey, I need you to come home. This is happening. Should I say no and risk my life later? No, I'm going to go home. That's okay. Things happen. But if I'm in my office and there's a knock at my door, I say, hey, yeah. Hey, can I talk? Is it an emergency? No. I'll talk to you later. Set a boundary. Right? If you don't set boundaries, you will never have rhythm to your life. That comes in a lot of different ways, by the way. It's not just things that take your time. It's you have to have boundaries in relationships, right? In order for me to have the proper relationship with my wife, I have to have boundaries with other relationships. Is that correct? It's kind of like my friend Paul. Paul wanted to go fishing every single day next week. In my heart, I'm like, that's a great idea. But it's not. Why? Because I have to spend time with my spouse. So I set a boundary with my friend. Hey, let's go for a day. But I have stuff to do with my spouse. Nothing wrong with fishing with Paul. It's a good thing. We enjoy it. We've done it 1,000 times probably. But it has a boundary. You see, you set boundaries to help keep priority and keep the plan in place. That's, discipline involves boundary. So if I have a problem oversleeping, discipline brings a boundary. That involves an alarm clock. You see, that gets me up so I'm at work on time. Discipline in your life. And I think... the Christian life is a life that's empowered by the Spirit that involves discipline too. And I think in the Christian faith, we get caught up talking a lot about power. Nothing wrong with it. But we got to talk about discipline. Yes. You can say you're all filled with the Spirit, but that doesn't mean you read your Bible. Doesn't mean you have the proper boundaries. You have to bring discipline to your life. So again, you have good intentions. I'm sure you do. You know things that need to change. Great. Don't be a New Year's resolution person. And one good thing about healthy relationships in your life, whether it's a spouse or if you're not married, somebody that you have a good friendship with, is they can help you. So if I was struggling spending time with the Lord, the first thing I would do was tell my wife and tell a friend and say, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me be accountable? And they'd be saying, hey, did you spend time with the Lord today? Thanks for helping me remind myself. I'm going to do it right now. It helped bring discipline. So healthy relationships can help you in those things. All right? So let's be people of discipline. So take all the things we did in time stewardship, taming your time. The list of what are the responsibilities of your life that you must be doing and paying attention to. Spouse, kids, job, whatever. Are you spending time with the Lord daily, even if it's a few moments? Are you finding time to rest? Literally, physically resting, stopping. Okay? Those three things right there. And if you struggle with any of these, what are you going to do intentionally to bring a pattern of discipline to bring change? And just don't talk about it. Do something about it. Do something about it. And if you need help, get somebody to help you. And I would say, where are we at? We're at the beginning of July. August, you may need to start with an evaluation in 2 weeks, then come back to it in a month. And if you feel you're in a good rhythm, come back to it by the end of the year. If you're in a good rhythm, then come back the first quarter of May or whatever, March, April, May. But come back and evaluate what's going on and adjust as you find necessary. So a good calendar to mark these things down. So you pull out a calendar, you mark what's in your phone or some sort of a paper calendar. I'm going to evaluate this on this day and mark it, and then when you get to that day, you think about it. That helps bring discipline to your life. I know the times when I'm going to evaluate things about this church. I know the times I'm going to think about myself because I mark it out in advance, and I stick to the plan. Right? That's what you have to do. Now, if that was a whole bunch of mumbo jumbo to you, come talk to me. I'll help you. But let's be people of diligence. Amen? Amen. Your life will be more productive. Amen?
Amen.
God wants you to not only be about the business of the kingdom, but you know, in the middle of that, you're allowed to smile. Even though your life can feel like just the wisp in the wind, you should be resting. Right? You should be about your spiritual health. Production, in a certain way, if you want to use that word. Let's work at it. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, all the teenagers, stand up. Let's pray for a second. Lord Jesus, I call forth giftings. Lord Jesus, I call forth purpose in their life. Lord, I ask that the design that you created these young people with, like the deep waters of the soul, are not lost or hidden. But as the fountain comes forth from the ground, these things start to bubble up in their lives, even in their youth. And I pray in the name of Jesus that no circumstances of this world, nor any plan or scheme of the enemy, nor any entrapment of sin, nor the cares of this life and worries of this world ever get in the way of design and purpose and calling and kingdom work. And I pray, even as Paul called Timothy forth in his youth, not to look down because he is young, that the young people in this church stand bright and stand tall and stand true. That the work of the kingdom is being built and the foundations are being laid. That these young people begin to understand what it means to pay attention and live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. And there's a stirring deep within them, a longing of their heart, Lord, to know you. And to begin, even in their youth, to grow in knowledge and grow in understanding and to know you in a way of experience. And Lord, we call forth the young people in this church that they're not simply the young people of this church, but they're part of the vitality and the life of this church, the vibrance of who we are as a body of believers. And Lord, the things that they struggle with, they learn to take it to you for a clear word. And they learn to live by the power of the Spirit, to be filled fresh daily with your Spirit. They live a life not looking to the right nor to the left, but eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of their faith, you, Lord Jesus. That, Lord, we are a church of the little ones and the youth all the way up to the oldest of the old, but every single one of us is walking within your will and your ways and your intention. And I pray the conviction of the Holy Spirit is strong in their lives and they don't ignore it. And where sin is trying to take root, they grab hold of it and yank it out of the ground. Where the enemy is shooting those fiery darts, the shield of faith stands firm in their arm. And I thank you for them. That they understand that they're never too young to be serious about Jesus. Never too young. That the youth gathering in this church grows is a vital part of who we are as a church. I call it forth in Jesus' name. Lord, for your kingdom. Lord, for your glory. Yes. I thank you for that. And I pray for everybody in the house tonight, Lord, that you bless us. Lord, you give us wisdom to walk daily in freshness of your Spirit. Lord, for the things that we need to change in our life, Lord, that you give us wisdom of a plan, but we stir our hearts up to work that plan. Now, I thank you for a church that we are strong together, rooted together, moving forth in the things of your kingdom together, that we will stand firm and we will not be moved. No force of hell, no work of the enemy, no circumstance of this world will move us. For we simply are your people, empowered by you. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We all say, amen. 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 All right, Sunday morning, bring somebody out. Be blessed as you go tonight.